Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast. Raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Father, we give you praise for this morning. I thank you because we know that you're here. I thank you because we know that you have something unique for every single person that is here today. I give you praise. I give you worship. I thank you. I hear the Spirit of God say, I am knowable. I am a knowable God. If you desire to know me, you will know me. If you desire to truly know me and have a relationship with me, you would have one with me. I am calling you to me. And I don't know who that is for, but he is calling you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus calls. He is calling you. I am knowable. I'm not a fictional God. I am not a God that just exists in some space. That you cannot access me. No, you can access me. If you truly desire to know me, you will know me. Open your heart so you can know me. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. Praise in Jesus' name, we pray. Can we have our seats? I'd like to welcome you to church this morning. Throughout the month, we've been on a series. The series is Finding Your Place. Finding Your Place. And I remember when I introduced, I said, Finding Your Place is not about finding your career path. I am not a motivational speaker. Neither am I a self-help person. I have no interest in helping you to discover where you can get your new job or what links are available to you in the marketplace. Whether you decide to call it a labor market or a favor market, I think those are just buzzwords that don't really matter. But that's really not what I'm here for. What I'm here for is to talk to you about finding your place in God. And we spent time defending why the most important thing that you need in your life is to know who you are in Him. And so today's message is not for analysis or so much explanation. I've done all that over the last 2 weeks. Today, I'm here to charge you to actually get down to it and start working. So that's why the topic for today is what's on your screen or what's on the screen. I wrote something. I prepared this myself because, and I wrote here that I should not be working this hard to tell you why, but here we are because it's the truth. Because I've spent at least 2 hours plus on this particular topic. And the reason why I said I should not be working this hard to tell you why is because it's clear and obvious here why, but we don't see it. We don't what? See it. There's nothing that defines you more than the person that made you, right? Even if you know cars, and you're an expert at driving cars. If you don't work in Toyota, you cannot know what's inside Toyota. Right? It's not possible. Yeah, some things are similar, but every company has a brand, right? Does Coca-Cola taste like Pepsi? Some people hate one of them. So I know people that are Pepsi haters. because they have an unwritten allegiance to Coke. And so I'm a vice versa. I thought people didn't like Pepsi. I've met people that love Pepsi. And also, I've met people that don't really know what Coke is. Because, like, Coke is not in Uganda, for example. It's Pepsi that's in Uganda. So that's all they know. Does Pepsi taste like Biggie Cola? But they are all cola, right? Every company, every institution has their... what you call their intellectual property, their proprietary information that they don't share with anyone else. If you're studying contracts, like as a contractor, as an engineer, there's a kind of contract called a turnkey contract. A turnkey contract is a contract that is usually signed by what you call specialists or specialized organizations. So it's not the person that builds house is going to construct a dam, right? Because to construct a dam or a wind turbine or whatever you want, that's a specialist job. Not every company does it. And so, if you want to run a specialist project and you want your designers to design, let them use all the mathematics in the world. If you take it to Shell or you take it to any of these companies that run and are specialists at those things, they'll tell you, no, you cannot bring design to us because we're the ones that know how to do this thing. So the agreement of that contract will be that we will take care of the entire process from beginning to what? To end. Don't worry about it. Just pay. Because, number one, we have a way that we do this thing. And we cannot let that secret to what? To leak. And if you want to work in some of those companies, when you sign your contract, they'll tell you that if you leave us for a certain amount of time after you leave us, you can't work anywhere else. Why? And you sign a lot of non-disclosure agreements because you are coming into the company to learn the secret of what of the company, what makes them who they really are. And so who knows who you really are? It's God. No matter what you studied, no matter what you are doing today, I'm a graphic artist. Oh, I'm a civil. How many civil engineers are walking the streets? How many doctors are in the hospitals? What makes you different from them? What's the assurance that you have that your life will not end up the way some have? We have no other assurance except God. And as we serve Him and as we bring ourselves to Him in service, what we come to find out is that He starts to bring out from us what we really are. He is discoverable, and you are also discoverable. Astrology will not do it for you. Because even if they say Libras are like this, you are not the only Libra in the world. So what makes you different if you want to believe it? If they say, oh, you are a sanguine, you are a melancholic, you are not the only sanguine male in the world. So what makes you different? If you say, oh, yes, I am INTF, INTJ, what is personality, mumbo jumbo, fine. You are not the only one in the world. So what makes you different? How do you know? It's God. It might not be the answer you like, but it's the truth. And so today I'm telling you to buckle up and start helping, right? I'm going to give you some reasons why. The first reason. And we're going to say some things that you might not enjoy. If you're not active in the service of God, you're active in the service of the devil. Now, you might not like it, right? It's fine. Feel free to be angry. But it's true. Please, can you just repeat it? Do you believe it? No, it's okay not to believe it. I want to give you proof. It's okay to doubt me and say, what do you mean? Fine. Let me tell you one of the major differences between God and Satan. It's not a secret though, but it's true. Not a lot of people know it. When you approach God, you approach Him directly. Are we together? When you approach God, you always approach Him what? Directly. Watch the whole Bible. When God wants to encounter someone, He encounters the person by what? By himself. He wants to deliver a message. That's different. He can send an angel, right? But one wants to have an encounter with somebody. That, okay, I want to have a personal relationship with this person. I want to relate to this person. He doesn't send anybody. No. He goes himself. But in scripture, how many times do you see the devil? You see him twice. Two times. If you want to count the story of Job, you can say three times. But I'm not counting the story of Job, because in the story of Job, we're being told something that happened. But when you see the devil in the narrative of the Bible, as things progress, you see him how many times? Two times. The first time was in the garden when he tempted Eve. The second time was when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. After those two times, and the book of Revelations where he's talking about future events, beyond those two times, you don't see him again. The question I have for you is, where was he? Where was he? Does it mean that he wasn't active? He was. But you see, when God wants to do something, he comes to you directly. A lot of people serve Satan without knowing that that's who they are what they're serving. And that's the point I'm making. You see the hand of Satan throughout the entire Bible, because you read some things and say, who inspired this person to concoct such evil things? It's who? The devil. But you don't see him there. But when God wants to speak to his prophets, he will what? He'll come directly and what? And speak to him. God does not send, he doesn't have third-party messengers. And he's still the same today. If you want to become a Christian, there's only one way. You have to what? Approach Jesus' sort directly. Repent and what? Accept him as your Lord. But you see, to serve Satan, you can serve Satan through your office and not know. You can serve Satan through your family and not know. You can serve Satan through your friends and not know, at least at first. You can serve Satan by saying, oh, there's this thing that we want to do. Let's just go and do it together. Oh, there's this deal that we have to make. Oh, there's this money that we're sharing, but nobody has to know we're sharing the money. Is there devil in that conversation? Yes, but you don't see him. You don't what? You don't see him. But you can say all these things I'm saying is still speculation. Fine. Let's use the Bible to defend my point. Can we open to Exodus 31? I want to read from verse 1. Please don't use KJV. Use New King James or CSB for me. Thank you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, keep going. See, I have called you by name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Keep going. To design artistic works. To work in what? In gold, in silver, in bronze. In cutting jewels for the setting, in carving wood. To work in all manner of what? Of workmanship. And I indeed have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. And the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it. And all the furniture of what? Of the tabernacle. The table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for who? Aaron. Noto. Okay. The priests, the garments of his sons and the ministers as priests, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall what? They shall do. Let's stop there. So here we see God instructing Moses about institutionalizing worship for his people. So they're about to start worshiping him, right? So he says, okay, this is what you must do. And for you to do it, don't worry, I've taken care of everything. The inspiration that they need to create everything needed for this worship. I've already given it to them. And he mentioned the names of those people. And if you look at pictures or you study about the Ark of Covenant of that time and the tabernacle, you see that there were many things involved. But the most common material you find is gold. And you see here, the golden lampstands, the gold for the ark, right? And he said, don't worry. The inspiration to do it, I've already given it to some people. I have even given Aaron, like what Aaron and his sons wear, as the priests, whom you might call the pastors, right? To be directing them. I've given it to them. This was chapter what? 31. Let's go to chapter 32. And start from verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden what? Earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to what? To me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And they received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to what? To the Lord. Okay. Then they arose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And people sat down to eat, to drink, and what? And rose up to what? To play. Thank you. So why am I showing you this? It's interesting. And it's a little ironic. Right? That it is the same gold. It's the same what? Gold. That God has said previously, oh, you will use this gold to what? To build this tabernacle and to worship me. Like, I want to say 5 minutes ago, but it's not 5 minutes. But you get, it's that same gold that a chapter after, Aaron what? Carved out and built what? A calf, an idol for them to worship. Is it a different, it's the same material. It's also the same inspiration of priesthood that God, the anointing that God had put on Aaron's head, that, oh yes, I've chosen you to what? To be a priest. And you know, when God gives you an assignment and a call, he gives you every single thing that you need to do that job. It is that same inspiration that gave Aaron the inspiration to not just carve the image, but so he said he built an altar and he offered what? Offerings. And then he called the people together and said, oh, this is your God. Do you think it's a different anointing? No, it's the same one. It's the same what? It's the same one. It's that same priestly inspiration and grace that Aaron had, that he was supposed to use for God, that he used to what? To direct the people to worship an idol. And let me tell you, that's the same thing that is happening today. It's the same thing that's happening what? Today. The devil is constantly coveting your what? Your gold. And gold in this point is not physical. Gold is your treasure. That thing that God has put inside you that is supposed to be for him. Gold is the inspiration that God gives you. He's constantly what? He wants it. He needs it. Can we read what I wrote there? Read it like you know why you're reading. Why in school, though? Read it the third time. It's the truth. It's the truth. If you go to Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12 to 15, don't open it. I thought it was there. The Bible tells us how the devil's conflict with God started. You know, God was not the one that fought Satan. Did God fight Satan once? No. The devil was the one that challenged God. And God said, okay, Michael, chase them what? Away. The end. But you see that what the devil said was, I would raise up my what? My throne. To be like what? Like the Almighty. So, the devil's primary goal is to rival God when it comes to worship. That's what he wants. That's the battle of this age. Why is occultism rising? It's a battle for what? For worship. It's not about money. Money is not a thing. Money is just a tool. It's not about power. Power is not a thing. Power is just what? A tool. It's not about advancement. It's just a tool. The real battle in the spirit is a battle for what? For worship. Who will you bow your knees to? Because man is a serving being. We're made to serve. You will serve someone. You see that you serve God or you serve the devil. You cannot go against your nature. The day that this mic stops producing sound and it starts to shine light, it's no more a mic. It's now what? A torch. Because it was made to amplify sound. You were made to serve. You will serve no matter what. You can't do anything about it. That's what it means to be human. Except you want to stop being a human being. You are serving right now. You are serving someone. And it's either you are serving God or you are serving the devil. And there's no in between. Because that's where the battle line is. It's a battle for worship. And so what that means is that every single thing inside you that is meant to worship God, Satan wants it to. Everything. Your beauty, he wants it. Your talents and your skills, oh, he wants it. Your resource, he wants it. He wants all of it. And if you're not a Christian, he probably has it. He has it. And if you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you have no living gaps for him to get it. We do. We do. If you're uncomfortable, it means I'm saying the right thing. But if you're still settled, then no, I'm not preaching this thing well. I need you to be very what? Uncomfortable. Do you know that in our day today, in our culture, there are two things about the devil that has become very, very prevalent. The first is that there's a sect of people that believe that the devil, Satan, hell, all these things, they don't want, they don't exist. There's another set of people that have romanticized it. And it's been romanticized in our TV shows, in our movies. Do you know how many movies with satanic allusions come out on a daily basis? How many movies exist about good witches, right? And she just draws a fancy pentagram and she summons something. And that thing that she summons or he summons becomes her friend. Yeah. It's now children's cartoons. So those are the two sects. There's, oh, he doesn't exist. It doesn't make sense. It's not real. It's not logical. Then there's this romanticizing of it. It's now music. It's in the artists that are being produced. They've even become a lot more bold about this thing. Like 10 years ago, there are some things that you could not do outside. And when you watch any music show or any awards show, it's just everywhere. Everybody just wearing fancy horns. I'm like, it makes me feel so old. Because I'm young. But now they have mind. Like, they didn't have the mind before. They were always there. But now it's become romanticized. There's something romantic about the occult and about darkness. People want it. And that's who? That's Satan. Do you know that in almost every secular movie, production, TV show, ad anime, whatever you watch, do you know that Christianity is never portrayed well? It's either the Christian is portrayed as someone that is overzealous to the extreme, to the point that any small thing, they are over, do you understand? They become fanatics in a sense. That's how Christians are portrayed. Or they are portrayed as that, but with an extra layer of that Christian will now fall. The Christian, do you understand? The Christian will fall. The Christian will have, if it's a priest, he will sleep with someone in the church. Or if it's a woman, if it's a Christian mother that is trying to raise her children, right, she's the one that will now have an extramarital affair with somebody. Am I the only one saying these things? It's the truth. Why is that the case? Stop being blind, you people, if you are Christians. Don't you know that something is happening? Don't you know you are being fought? The devil wants it. You know, most secular musicians, and that was on the screen, most secular musicians started in church, you know, right? I'm not even talking about the black church, because if you say it's black church alone, I'm talking, like, the stats I have are on R&B, like, the Revolt is a music website. They published a list recently of the musicians that started in church. Almost everybody is there. John Legend, Usher, name them, they are all on that list. Everybody, Aretha Franklin, Monica, everybody. But it's not just them, even white church. Most of the people that are currently doing all that, because you know black is R&B, soul, but white, rock, pop, most of them started in church. Why? Because the devil wants it too. He wants the gift. He wants it. There's nothing that you have that is unique to you that God gave you that the devil doesn't want. He wants it. And you sort of have to determine in your heart that you're not going to give it to him. But the thing is, that thing itself cannot exist in a vacuum. You can't hold it. You will give it to someone. So if you're not going to give it to him, you have to just give it to God. You know, one of the greatest mercies that God had on me is that no matter what happened over the course of my life, I never entered studio to record a song. I see it as mercy today. It was not for lack of opportunity. I had friends, musical friends. Whether you want to call this gospel or the pseudo-gospel, because many of our gospel artists, let's not talk about that one today. But they are not there. But we should not talk about it, because I don't want to distract you. Whatever you want to call it, right? I had the opportunity to go and sing some things, to go and play some things. I'm so grateful to Jesus I never did. Because I don't know if I'll be standing in front of you. Because it will have been good. Because the gift he gave me is that strong. It will have been a very good song. I'd already written one with a friend. We're about to go and record. I fell sick. Like, we had formed band and everything. He produces pretty well. He produces electronic music on his computer, but he doesn't play any live instruments. And I play live instruments, a bunch of live instruments. So the idea we both had was, okay, he will deal with, like, the digital side. I'll mix it up with, like, keyboard and some drums and all that. So we'll merge it. We've written the first song. I fell sick. I couldn't go. I thank God. I'm serious. I'm actually being very serious. Because if I went, I'm not sure I'll be standing in front of you today. Because the song will have been big. You see, the thing is that not everybody that ends up selling their souls to the devil has the intention at the beginning. It's manipulation and seduction. And they keep pulling them in. And they keep pulling them in. And if your feet is not firmly planted on the rock, which is Jesus, you have no steady ground. So, 80 to 90% of the people that today, they've joined something and they can't tell you, they are the same people that told themselves, it can never be me. It can never be what? It can never be me. And lo and behold, at one point, it became what? It became them. And that's just life. But because it was because they were not planted on the rock that never fails. They were not. And so they fell. So the next thing I want to tell you is that if you are not fully sold out to God and his service, you are only leaving gaps for the enemy to what? To exploit. Any area of your life that you've not committed to God is in the hand of the devil. You know, it's easy for us to come to church and sing, oh, I surrender, when we're singing, Lord, I give you my heart. So I sing it today, oh, after this preaching, you sing it. And you know, music is such an emotional thing that it's not everything that is the Spirit of God. So because I play this instrument, I know that if I sit down there now, there's some chords I'll play to touch you. You can even start crying. Doesn't mean you've made any decision for Jesus. Oh. And somebody from the outside will be looking at you, so this person is so broken. Oh, God has really... Me, I'm not deceived. Because I know the trick. Many of the most important choices that we make in our lives, we make it in the quietness of our hearts. Not with any form of external proof. But when we make that decision and we affirm it to God and He hears it, then we start to walk in that direction without any fanfare, without any spotlight on you, like, oh, this one has made a decision for Jesus now, which is why I don't believe all the nonsense that people say about all these musicians that come to Christ. Because it's crap. It is what? It's crap. Name them. There was a point when they said, what's his face? Justin Bieber was a Christian. And I looked at him and I said, that boy is not saved. How do I know? If he's saved, the first thing God will take from him is that career. If he's saved, what will happen is he will disappear for a while. Nobody will see him. By the time you see him again, you will not recognize him. If he's saved, he won't just say, oh, I'm saved. And the next time you start performing with some pseudo-Christian artist, singing some pseudo-Christian song, and everybody's rejoicing, oh, he's a believer now. You're all lying to yourselves. And anybody that believes them is a fool. Because they don't know what real transformation is. Because it has happened to some people that were in this so-called Hollywood or Nollywood or whatever. And once they received Jesus, we didn't hear from them. Why? Because the transformation work that happens in secret. It's not something you blog or you tweet about or you carry camera about. It's not a media fanfare. It happens in the secret place. And God starts to mold you and mold you and mold you. And everybody's wondering, where is this actor? Or where is this person? And nobody knows where they are. Why? God is dealing with them. And the dealing is not a pleasant experience. He's dealing with them properly to bring what He really made them out of them. To take away all the chaff and all the useless things. And bring out the real them that will give Him glory. So He's dealing with them. And you don't see them. And then when you see them next, you don't even recognize them. Our Christianity has become so watered down. It's boring when it's watered down. It's boring. Because if there's no real transformational power, then why are we serving God? Did you just come to sit down here and waste your time? Or come to sit down here and say, oh, it's church, let me just go. If you don't want to change, if you don't want the power of God to do something and change you on the inside, then stay in your house. You shouldn't be in church. You should not. The entire point is for you to change, and change is not comfortable. And so if you want to remain where you are, then don't just come. Don't waste your time. Do other things and know that that's where you are. That's what Christianity really is, something that will change you from who you were to a new person by your willingness. It's not just come and worship with us. Stay at home. It's pointless. And so, anything you don't surrender to God is already with the devil. For some people, they give God, in quote, everything except their emotions. Like, except their relationship. So, like, they are good Christians until they fall in love. And when they fall in love, it's the luck of the draw. If they fall in love with a Christian, then it's God that had mercy on them. But if they fall in love with some guy or some girl that doesn't really care, they're in trouble because emotionally, they are not surrendered to Jesus. And preach all the message in this world. God has the best for you. God knows what's best for you. God is the one that will help you choose. You don't need to be... It's just entering here. And what? Come down here. Because their emotions are not surrendered to Jesus. For some people, it's their finances. They can come and lift up holy hands. And they might even preach to you. But you see, when it comes to money, it's not God with their money. Yo. And you know the funny thing is that these are the same kind of people that they will now start saying, church wants all your money, the pastors are this, the pastors are that. Okay, I agree. Let's even agree and say you are right. Can you convince me that that money that you claim to have, you are not serving the devil with it? Can you convince me that there's no addiction in your life that you are investing that money in? Can you convince me that you are not wasting that money in one way or the other with something that is not profitable to you? It's a lie. You are doing all those things. You are. Because I know people that would complain and say, offering and tithes, all they know is this. Okay, fine. And they earn money every month. And then it's block party. Or this, or that, or is even, they'll think it's charitable event, oh, my estate is doing something, one thing, I give money, support. And the money is what? It's gone. So some people are not, their finances, oh, the devil exploits. For some people, it's their family. They surrender to other things, but you see, that's, you can't talk to them about their brother, or their sister, or their mom, or their dad. Or their children, or their husband, or their wife. You can't. And again, in those areas, it's a luck of what? It's a luck of the draw. You know what I mean when I say luck of the draw? You know when they say pick your card, they put card in front of you. Then you say pick. If it's a good card, good for you. If it's a bad card, sorry. In that area of their life, it's a luck of the draw for them. So if God has blessed them with godly parents and godly siblings, then they have no conviction of their own in that area. But if their parents are not saved or their siblings are not saved, they can't say no. Well, let's go and do... It's my brother, it's my sister. It's a what? It's a gap. For some people, it's their jobs. It's their jobs. As I may, I'm talking to you, they're already thinking about tomorrow. That this service that, I know it's 12 o'clock, we can't reach 12 o'clock, we've left here. I can tell you that one for a fact. If we are done, I've shared the grace. Even if they've not shared the grace, if I will say, I bring the mic, let me help you to share the grace. But they just can't. Is that deliverable tomorrow? That is on their mind. You are looking at me. You know it's you I'm talking to. Yeah. Okay. Now, when it comes to their job, there's no compromise because this is my source of what? Of income. If I lose this one, what will happen? It's their God. And so when it comes to that, there are gaps in their lives. And usually what will happen with these people is that anything, they will do almost anything to secure that what? That job. And for them, it's also the luck of what? Of the draw. So if they happen to be working for a boss that is not a cultist and is a honest businessman, they are probably fine for the most part. They might say, I don't have time for church, which will still hurt them, but you get, they don't actively dip their leg. But if they happen to be working for someone that, before you come in the morning, he has burnt like 5 incenses and he has one shrine in his office that none of you in the office know about, then one day, as you are doing your work and as you are going well, he's going to call you to his office and say, you know, you're a very good and supportive worker, but in this office, there's this thing that we do. And then, it will not be a question of, are you standing on the rock or what? Are you standing on sand? If you're standing on sand and that area of your life is your gap, you're going to join that day. Because you just don't have any faith that God can give you something better. I'm not telling you something that has not happened to me. I used to work somewhere, and twice I was invited to a boat meeting on the water by 1 a.m. And I said, what are we going to do there? It was in the office. They had a compulsory TGIF. It was a pretty big place. They had a compulsory TGIF every end of the month. And me, I don't like TGIF. I want to just be in my office, do my work, and go. Because it was in Ikoyi, and I was living on the mainland. So the rest of you, a lot of the workers, they lived on the island. So you now be stressing my destiny. Me that I want to finish by 6 and then just face this traffic and get back to my house. And you say, no, I must stay for the TGIF. I say, okay, fine. They say, you cannot just even stay in the office. You have to come down to the lobby
and take all the small chops. It's part of the rules of the company. And so I'll come down. And on this particular one, I came down and I was very hungry that day, so it was good. So I saw samosa, so I was just eating and having fun. I say you must not go, so they were playing chess. I haven't played chess with someone, I left. And like some of my colleagues now came to me and said, Billy, you should come hang out with us tonight. And I look at the clock, like, what other tonight is in this night? Because it was almost 10. So like, tonight, which other night is inside this night? And I said, I thought I didn't hear well. I said, okay. And I said, yeah, seriously, you should come. I said, where? I said, we're going out on a boat ride. To where? When? I said, by one. I said, who is going to be there? He said, the Oga will be there. And some other people and him. I said, what are we going to do there? And he just looked at me and tapped me on the shoulder. He's taller than me, so he's very big. He tapped me on the shoulder like this and said, Billy, you should come. I said, ah. Then that one did not work. Then he went to go and get a female colleague. She now came and she said, Billy, you're coming out with us tonight. But I said, this night, we're talking about. And I didn't go. And a few months later, I had to resign. Because it affected my evaluation. Yes, it did. I resigned. I left. Because they refused to confirm me and promote me. And then I had a fight with HR. And I asked HR, everything on my KPI, I've done it. I showed them. So why am I not being confirmed? And they could not tell me why. But me, I knew why. Because they don't say it outside. I don't belong. I'm not a team player. And then my team lead was like, Billy, when I handed in my resignation letter, she said, you can still redact this thing, Billy. I said, I'm going. So you're going to where? Do you have another job? I said, no. I said, how can you just go into nothing? I said, well, I will find another thing. She said, no, Billy, you can't do that. Even if you want to start your own, like, stay here for a while, save some money. Whatever they tell you to do, just do it. I said, okay. Me, I'm sure I'm going. And I left. And for like a month, they called me because they have like partner companies and all that. I said, okay, Billy, even if you don't want to work in this one, why don't we transfer you to? I said, I'm not going. I said, I'm not going. Thank you. And I left. But you see, you like to convince yourself that these things are not real, but they are. If you have not experienced them, you will not know. And God help you if you experience it in an area of your life where you are shaking, where you've not given it to God. A lot of people miss God because that area is a gap for them. And the devil knows that on this thing, you might call yourself a Christian, but the devil knows that on this thing, I still have this guy, I still have this girl. So he's just waiting for you. He's laying a trap, what? For you, specially for you, specially curated and crafted for your weakness. Just waiting for you to what? To enter. And that's how it works. That's the reality of life. And so please do not leave gaps for what? For the enemy to exploit. Do not do that. Next thing I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to run through this really quickly, are the things that service to God really reflect for you. Your service to God. Oh, yeah. I forgot this. Thank you. This is why you should make slides. Everyone has something to offer to give to God. Your time, your resources, and skills. And not, they are not evenly distributed among individuals, but no one has nothing. This is for the people that are, these are arguments. So some people will say, I have nothing to what? To give or to offer to God. It does not exist. Everyone has something. Everyone has time, resources, and skills. You might not have them at equal measure. There are periods in your life when you might have less time, but you have resources and you can give it to God. There are periods in your life where it's your skill. Whatever it is you're doing or whatever gifts that God has given to you, what? Give it to him and say, okay, Lord, how can you use this thing in your house? How can you use this thing in your kingdom? Everyone has something to what? To give. The second thing is we're never as busy or as occupied as the devil makes us think we are. So it's not a coincidence that our issues become more prominent and obvious when it's time for us to commit to what? to God. So when they tell you, make a commitment to God in this area or this other area, it's at that point that you will not remember the 99 problems that you have. And all the reasons why you cannot what? Commit or surrender. We are never really as restricted or as busy or as occupied as the devil makes us think. He magnifies a lot of things in our minds. Which is why I tell people that if you want to make a commitment or a choice to God, like, don't figure out the logistics before you make the decision. Make the decision first. The logistics will work out themselves. It's the same thing with salvation. There are people that are waiting to understand everything about the Bible. You say, oh, I preach to some people, even some of my friends. I'm like, ah, what? This Jesus thing, give your life to Christ. And they'll say, like, Billy, there are some things I don't understand. And I told them that those things that you don't understand, they don't finish. They don't what? Finish. If you want to make a choice, make a choice. And figure the rest out on the way. That's what it means to what? To act by faith. You do. And so if you want to make a commitment to God, forget the logistics and just do it. And figure out the rest later. And I have a friend till tomorrow. I've known him for a decade now. He's still telling me the same thing. But Billy, there's some things I don't get. Oh, one day he was telling me, but Billy, you know that the Bible is a very bloody book. And I said, yes, it is. In fact, that King James, he was not even a good person. The King James Bible, and there's nothing that qualified him to be responsible for this interpretation. He was a wicked man. He took someone's wife. So because before he started telling me those facts, me, I was just telling him the facts. Like, oh yes, I know everything you want to say, I know. And so, anybody that doesn't come to God, it's not a knowledge problem, it's a heart problem. Because smarter people than us have given their lives to Christ. Professors, inventors that have discovered things that you don't know have given their lives to Jesus. So what kind of stupid intelligence do you have? It's not here. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. It's never what? It's never in the head. It's in the heart. And that's the truth. And so we're never as busy, as occupied, as the devil makes us think that what? That we are. Okay, so two things I want to tell you before I go. Number one, your service is usually a reflection of what? Your level of faith. Your level of what? Faith. So the level of sacrifice and service is always a reflection of your level of faith. If you go through the book of Hebrews, you will see that the Bible has these people that he calls the heroes of what? Of faith. Every single example, you will see that what they did was a service in sacrifice to who? To God. What qualified them to be heroes is what they did. And there are two examples I want to highlight. Rahab and Noah. Rahab is a hero of faith because she did what? She hid the spies of Israel when they came to Jericho. I'm sorry, do you know what she did was she risked her life? She risked what? Her life. And the life of her family. Because there was a possibility that she could have been caught. And what would they do to her if they catch her? She doesn't leave. So what qualifies her to be a hero of faith is what? She sacrificed the safety of her life on something that she claimed to what? To believe. And she sacrificed in service. And we have Noah, who spent God knows how many years. How many years did he spend building this ark? He could have used those resources for any other thing. But he chose and said, okay, I'll build this ark. He employed people to build the ark. He paid them. The people that he employed to build the ark, they didn't believe him. Oh. They were just working for what? For their pay. So imagine you work for someone and you finish your daily task and get back home and say, let's say he's a married man. Say, what did you go and do today? He said, well, I went to work with Noah today to build his ark. And the wife was like, that Noah, that crazy man. Well, he has money. Let me just be going there. Like, what's that project supposed to do? I don't know. He said that water is going to fall from the sky. And in their house, they laugh at him and say, well, if he chooses to waste his money, let's just what? When I read my Bible, I like to think of these scenarios. It's not there, but it's just like this kind of thing can happen. Because it still happens today. It's human nature. Some people will see someone, they say he wants to waste money, Abby. Hey, no problem. We'll go, let's help him to what? waste the money. It's free money. Working on a project you don't believe in. And that's probably what happened. And Noah kept sacrificing on something that he believed was going to happen. That's what earned him a place on that list. And so your level of sacrifice for God, it shows your level of faith. And so some people, the truth is that if they have 1K in their pockets and they're in church and they say, okay, come and give offering, they'll say, oh, I don't have any money. That's their level of faith. Because the truth is they don't believe that if they give that offering, that they will be replenished on that amount. So sacrifice and faith, they go what? They go together. Anything that you can give up, you can give off because you believe that the God that I serve can do better, right? Whether it's your time or your resource or your skill, you just believe that, okay, I'll be good because God has my back. And the second thing I want to say is that service is one of the expressions of your love for God. You can't say you love God from your lips alone. It cannot just be from song. Are we together? If you love God, you have to do something. It has to reflect in your action. And the truth is that if you love the devil, it also has to reflect in your actions. And many of us might love him without knowing that we do. Please, let's rise up. I want to lead you in some prayers before we go into communion. I do not want you to underestimate your presence here today. I don't want to underestimate the presence of God here today, because he's the one that brought you here and he's here with you. This category of people that I want to pray for are those who want to make a commitment to service to God. You know, we're in the time of New Year resolutions. A lot of people have entered 2024 and have written like 50 things that they are going to be doing right this year. And I'm pretty sure that right now, many of them have quit already on some of the things they say. I want to eat healthier this year. I want to do this year. They're already finding it difficult to do it. There's no commitment greater than saying, oh Lord, this year I want to serve you. And so the next prayer I want to pray is a prayer of commitment to service. If you have never thought to yourself that, oh Lord, I want to serve you, I want to give my time to you, I want to give my resources to you, I want to give my skills to you, and you're here and you want that choice, I also like you to come and let me pray for you. If you've not made that decision and you want to make it today, because there's nothing greater, nothing can be more helpful for you than serving God. That's the truth. Because like I've told you, you will serve something. You will serve someone. You will serve someone. So if you want to make a commitment to his service and know, okay, Lord, this year I want to do something for you. I don't want this year to be selfish anymore. I don't want it to be about me, about what I want, about my goals, about my aspirations, about my dreams, about the things that I've written down. I don't want to live a me life this year. Because last year I lived a me life, and when I got to the end of the year, I was frustrated. It didn't really amount to anything. So I want to do something different this year. I want to commit myself to you. If you are in that category, please step forward so I can pray with you. Father, I will give you praise for your people. Thank you for the word that they've heard. Lord, I pray that you have mercy on them this year. Mercy is the greatest prayer that I can pray for those that are standing in front of me and for myself. Your mercy saturate them in areas of their weakness, Lord. That your mercy be their guide and their comfort in all the things that they need your mercy for. That you be their strength, O Lord. And have mercy on them this year. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.